Good evening. I invite you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And I can already tell you, you're a little too far away from me for my comfort level. So I'm going to trust this clicker's going to do what clickers do and maybe talk face to face for a little bit. As was mentioned, my name is Stephen Trammell. I preach down the road at Mountain View. You would think down the road is not super far, but as you know, and some of you have already mentioned to me tonight, this better be good because we drove a long way. Traffic is a mess, and I hate that because, I mean, I've been preaching over there for 13 years. I should know you better. I should have spent more time with you, but traffic and situations being how it is, I know what it's like when you go home from work and you get home and you finally get home and get something to eat. It's hard to think about that meeting across town. So I recognize some of those challenges that we all share, but I'm happy to be here with you tonight and happy to talk about this topic, even though when it was given to me, it did seem kind of boring on the surface. I say boring, but I mean, you know, you don't use that word peace too much. It's not something that you sit around and talk about. Now, we appreciate it, for sure, because if you think about the kind of lives we live, it really is filled with, I think Justin may have mentioned, I mean, it's filled with conflict. That there's problems all around us, and problems of all sorts. I was talking with a couple last night. I'll tell you, you know what kind of problems are the worst? Marriage problems. Marriage problems. And I looked at them both and said, you know what? Let's get together and talk, because you don't want to keep having problems. You don't want to go home and there's a problem. You want to go home and what do you want to find? I want peace. That's right. You want peace. How many of you ever have money trouble? Yeah. You wake up, about 5 minutes go by. What are you thinking about? Oh man, I'm broke. Don't want to get the mail. Don't want to get the bank account. Man, don't want to answer the phone. Those are tough places to be. Think about just your fellow man. I mean, you cut on the TV, election cycle coming up. It's going to be great, isn't it? It's going to go just smooth. People are going to be happy afterward. They're going to elect people that they like. And no, already you can just taste the anger and the bitterness and the conflict, unresolved conflict. And so you end up, you know, factoring in other things, conflict with your children. And maybe your children aren't doing what they're supposed to do. And maybe there's some heartache in the home. Or maybe you got some kind of health problem that's just not going to go away. And you wake up and you're just like, man, my life is a mess. And you go to the doctor, and what does the doctor tell you? Well, you need to cut out the stress in your life. You need to cut out the stress. And I just look at the doctor like, okay, I mean, what are we going to do? But what the doctor is saying is really what we're going to talk about tonight. We've got to find some peace in our life. Look, I got a nice scene up here for you. You can look at that instead of looking at me. It's about that time, isn't it? Fall. Oh, it's going to be great. Love to drive and see the leaves. I feel like an old person. I love it. Go out and spend time outdoors, take pictures of the kids, and you're just really feeling good about life. There's something about vacation and serenity and being out there. The world is kind of catching on to this. They're grabbing on to the need to de-stress and to find some sort of equilibrium in their life. But how are they approaching it? And what is their solution? I'm in line in the grocery store the other day, and Time magazine or whatever, one of those magazines, are still there. And it's like a picture of some person in a yoga pose. It's talking about mindfulness. Right? It's the world's attempts to cope with the chaos that we all experience, to the problems we wake up to. And so you know what they want to do? You just got to clear your mind and just forget about everything. And I'm going to present to you tonight that I don't think that's the best way for you to cope with stress. I don't think that's the best way for you to find peace. I think God's going to give us some real, real peace, as has been mentioned in the prayer and already in the opening thoughts. Some peace in Christ. Peace in Christ. That's what I want to talk about tonight. And I want to do so by us thinking about, you know, as we kind of start at the outset, by defining what we're talking about with peace. Again, not a word we use a lot. The concept of peace and the idea behind peace. Look, if you look at the dictionary, and I feel so sorry for you people in the back, because no chance on this one. But, you know, the dictionary kind of defines this in a couple ways for us. It really is a state of tranquility, quiet, freedom from a civil disturbance, or a state of security, you know, where there's some peace. It's sort of like the opposite of war. And so you might say, well, yeah, that's good. I mean, I want to be in a state of tranquility. Maybe it's more along the lines of the second definition. Maybe you struggle with needing the freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. So maybe you're not in war and you're being attacked from the outside. I mean, no one's barging into your home. But maybe it's just there's a lot of negativity in your mind and a lot of distress there. And so maybe you find some sort of inner peace. And the third definition, and there was a couple more that are just tangential, but it's the idea of having peace and harmony in your personal relationships. And so when you think about peace, it's like, oh, there's peace in our home. There's peace in the relationships in my life. Or maybe there's peace in America and there's the absence of conflict. Or maybe there's inner peace I have where I'm content and happy. And all those definitions, they're good. And they speak to the concept of peace that is found in the Bible. But when you think about, you know, how do I understand this topic better? And how do I wrap my mind around, you know, what is peace and how does it relate to me on a spiritual level? I want to try to answer three questions tonight with you as we spend our time together. Number one, what type of peace is the peace that Jesus provides? All right, what type of peace am I talking about with the peace that Jesus provides? You may look at spirituality and say, all right, well, if I'm a Christian, is Jesus going to solve X problem in my life? Is Jesus going to solve that thing he was talking about earlier where I got this bad health problem or my family's all angry all the time or my wife isn't acting how she needs to act? Like, is Jesus going to solve that for me? Am I going to go home and things are going to be better? I think it's very critical for us to understand when Jesus is talking about peace that we wrap our arms around what kind of peace Jesus is providing us. Secondly, I want to answer how Jesus provides this peace to us. Because we can talk about how wonderful and beautiful it is all day, but if I don't know how to access it, how to get it, and how to incorporate that into my life, it's just an academic study. You can go home and say, well, peace in Christ, but if you don't know how to access that peace, it's done you no good. I want you to know how Jesus has a part in this. And then third, I want us to talk about what's the real benefit of having peace in our lives. Okay, what are we talking about just on the most practical base level? Because I don't want you to leave here just knowing what peace is. I don't want you to leave here appreciating it. I want you to leave here changed by what God is offering you in your understanding and in your own life. Because I know if you're here tonight and you're 14 and your parents drug you here or you're, you know, you're younger, you're like, why do I need peace? Well, I'm going to try to tell you why you need peace. You might not think you need peace. You might not even feel the stress in your life. But you can appreciate it when peace arrives. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you don't even know you need a vacation. When you're on a vacation, you're like, yes, I really needed this. People need Jesus and they don't even know it. And so I want to make sure you know what is at stake when we talk about the benefits of having peace in our lives. So with that being said, we're going to spend a lot of time in the Bible talking about this concept of peace in Christ. I'll have a few of the verses on here and then we'll be turning to some. I just put them up here because I thought it'd be easier for you, but then again, I didn't know you're going to be two football fields back there. So that's on me. You can turn your Bibles if you want to Luke chapter 2 and verse 14. I'm talking about peace in Christ. I mean, this is a good thing, right? I mean, Jesus is, well, one of the earliest things said about Jesus are by the angels announcing his birth. And you remember, right? Almost Christmas time. You think about that. Glory, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. I don't think if an angel showed up and told me I was about to experience peace, that would be a bad thing. That's probably pretty exciting. Had the Jews lived in conflict? Absolutely. They lived in a series of conflicts. I mean, as a matter of fact, their history is one of fighting everybody, fighting the nation around them, infighting, fighting amongst themselves, fighting all these nations that are going to come take them over. Assyria, Babylon, Greece, all those people. I mean, the Roman Empire dominating them when Jesus comes. And here he's on the scene and they're announcing Christ And so you're thinking, all right, this is it. Peace is on the horizon. He's the Prince of Peace. This is what Jesus is bringing. And so when the Jews thought of Jesus, what sort of peace did they think about? Well, the kind of peace you and I want. I want to go home and find myself prosperous and my needs met. I want to be left alone. I want to be comfortable. And I want all my relationships to be better. And I want everything in my life physically to be fine. And yet, when you look at the Bible and you look at this announcement of peace, you're startled when you start to see Jesus' direction of His life. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 51, how could He say this? Jesus said, "Do you suppose that I came to grant peace on the earth?" Yeah, that's what the angels were telling us. Remember that? Yeah, you came here for peace. And yet Jesus said, "Well, I tell you no, but rather a sword. Rather division," New American Standard says. "I've come to bring division into your life." And so let's stop right here and we try to understand a little bit more about peace in Christ. We've got to know from these two very different verses, and you know these verses, it's not new to you, that there is going to be a difference in understanding the kind of peace Jesus is talking about. I'll say this at the outset. He's not bringing unilateral peace to everyone. He's not. Because of Jesus, not every aspect of your life is going to be problem-free. That's not what Jesus is promising. Now, that's what we would want. I want all those things I talked about to just disappear and dissipate. That's not what's going to happen. On some level, Jesus is going to bring problems into your life. He's going to bring challenges and difficulties. Relationships that weren't strained before might be strained by the gospel. Your job and financial situation might face an additional strain under the weight of Christianity. Well, how is that possible? Well, now I'm called to be generous and give and sacrifice and all these things. Yeah. Well, now all of a sudden people I was totally fine with at work, I may be in conflict with because of my views and my beliefs. All of a sudden my life is less peaceful. Well, what is Jesus doing here? I thought He was the Prince of Peace. Turn your Bibles to John 14 and verse 27. Unless you're eagle-eyed and you can read it. Jesus said this, and I want to talk about this verse for just a few minutes. Jesus is talking to His disciples in John 14. And let's just set the context up of this verse. John is writing here the last few days of Jesus' life. The last few days. Here He's about to be crucified. And He's spending His last few moments with His disciples. And His disciples are concerned about Him. Why are His disciples concerned about Jesus? Well, you tell me what you would be if He showed up, told you to follow Him, you left everything, and now for the last few days, all He's been talking about is, "Well, I'm going to go. I'm about to leave you. And where I'm going, you can't come." What? "Well, no, we're going to follow you anywhere." "No, you can't." "Well, we've left everything to follow you." And so the first verse of chapter 14, He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Well, why are their hearts troubled? Because He's leaving them. He's going to separate Himself from them. They're going to be alone in a sense. And so Jesus is in this context talking to them and encouraging them and telling them, "Look, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you, and I'm telling you these things," because in verse 27 He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, but my peace I give to you." So, it's up to us to understand as best we can what this peace in Christ represents. What kind of peace is He offering me? What is He giving me? I think I want that. I want it myself. But yet, it's so difficult to understand. Look at me at this next slide. And I want to show you three things that peace in Christ provides. Number one, we'll find if you'll turn, we'll read Colossians chapter 1 and we'll read in Ephesians as well. Peace in Christ provides peace where it matters most, and that is between us and God. Peace in Christ provides peace where we need it most, and that's between us and God. Now, we were talking about earlier, you know, all those things in our life that really bother us and where we feel stress and whatever. There's a lot of people in life, they don't feel stressed at all about their spiritual state. They feel totally fine, rather content. There's no animosity, there's no discomfort. They don't know that they're technically an enemy of God. How would I know God's mad at me? Unless God tells me. Now, we can assume that everyone's fine with God, and if you poll 90% of the people in the world, they're going to tell you, I'm fine, I'm going to heaven, God accepts me, God loves me. But yet, when you see in the Scriptures, well, that's not true for all of us. As a matter of fact, that's not true for any of us. God is angry with the wicked every day. We've all found ourselves short of the glory of God. And Ephesians 2, he explains, all of us are dead in our trespasses and sins. We're not on God's good side. And yet in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14, how can we find God not at war with us and us with God? Speaking of Jesus, he says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Jesus is making peace for us. In what sense is he making peace? Look, let me make it real clear. Jesus is not providing peace in the sense that he's going to right all the problems in your life. That's not the kind of peace Jesus died for. He did not give his life so that you can go to work and everybody like you at work. That's a very shallow view of what I should expect from God and even want. If they hated Jesus, well, they're going to hate you. What Jesus brought to you is the one thing you couldn't do no matter how hard you tried. And it's find yourself brought near to God again. Now, you may not feel like you need that. You may feel like, oh, I'm okay. But you're going to find out real quick when you're standing before God in judgment that, well, I should have done something about my soul. I should have done something about my relationship with God. And now Jesus has done what we can't do, primarily making peace between us and God. It's a beautiful thing, and he talks about that all the time. The only way, and we'll say this over and over again tonight, that God is happy with you is because he's happy with Jesus. All right? It's through Jesus that we're able to find ourselves back under the grace of God. So, secondly, not only is peace in Christ primarily focused on our relationship to God, but secondly, peace in Christ is great because unlike the world, the peace that Jesus provides is permanent. The peace that Jesus provides is permanent. So a couple verses from Thessalonians, just because I always feel bad for those books because there's, you know, nobody ever likes to go there. They're great when it comes to talking about peace, I'm going to tell you that. He gives us these examples of the God of peace in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The God of peace is working in your life to sustain you and to work in you and to complete that which he's begun. I mean, you know, God is trying in every way possible to preserve us and sanctify us, and I'm grateful for God's work in my life. Now let me say this. When you talk about the peace of the world, how long does the peace of the world last? I think I saw somewhere, I was reading something, that the world, like history of the world, there's only been like a handful of years where there were no wars going on the planet. Like very small, maybe like 200 or 300. You think about that in the scheme of the thousands of years of human history, like we're always fighting with someone. You sign a treaty, what happens? How good is a peace treaty with somebody on the earth? Not pretty good, is it? No. No, we'll break our ties, we'll break our bonds, we'll break whatever. You can't find peace among people. You think to yourself, you're going to find peace on the earth? You can't do it. You ever go through layoffs at work? I know you have. You go through those things, and what happens afterward? You feel like, oh, we're good. We're good. I made it through this one. Is there any peace in that? There's no peace in that. You know why there's no peace in it? I joke with guys at work. We're always in between layoffs. Yeah, we just had one. But I know that next one's around the corner. You can't find peace at work. There's nobody that's going to feel sorry for you and then keep you employed for the, you know, just because you want to be for the rest of your life. No, people got money to make and business to run. This is, you're going to take this the wrong way, but I mean, it's the truth. Can you trust your spouse? Well, you might say, yeah, I can. I better be able to. But you know, there's a lot of people that have disappointed their partner, disappointed their spouse. Stood up there in front of God and made a vow before God and before other people and went back on their commitment to their spouse. Well, man, can you depend on your family? Kids ever let you down? Parents ever let you down? Sure they have. Oh, I got it. Your body ever let you down? Go through cancer treatment, they tell you you're cancer free. What do you go home and think about? I can't trust this. Maybe there's something hiding somewhere. Look, there is nothing in this life that can provide the type peace that God promises us. We are in between conflicts. We're in between fighting. We're in between wars. We're in between our life and our death. We are headed toward corruption, a people of corruption, and there's nothing in our life that we can hold on to. It's just like trying to grab sand. You're not going to be able to do it. And so when you think about peace, and you think about, oh, I would love just the absence of conflict in my life. I would love to go home and sit there and not be bothered. That is only a small, temporary thing. You know what would happen if you tried to go on vacation every day? Eventually you had to pay some bills. People be knocking at your door. Your vacation's going to be up. You got to go back to work in the real world. Look, God is not like that. When we have peace in Christ, it is a permanent thing. God is not going to turn His back on you. God's not going to change His mind tomorrow. You're not going to go into God's office and ask for something and pray to Him, and God has changed His mind completely on you. God is faithful even when we are faithless. And I want to be in a relationship like that, where when somebody says, we have peace, I can turn my back and go close my eyes and lay my head down, and no, I'm not going to be stabbed in the back. There's no relationship like that on earth. I mean, praise God for that. That in Christ, the God of peace is working in my life to sustain me. To sustain me. Third, and this is where we really start to understand peace in Christ. What peace in Christ does for us in John chapter 16, peace in Christ provides comfort and stability in a life of turmoil. Peace in Christ will provide comfort in a life of turmoil. Verse 33, Jesus said, the hour is coming, yes, is now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. All right, this is so important for us to get. You want peace in life? It is not going to be found in the absence of turmoil and trouble. Look, read that verse again that Jesus said. What did He say about peace? I'm going to give you peace, but in the world you're going to have tribulation. Well, how is that peace? I'm going to have peace in the middle of tribulation? Sounds like no peace to me. No, it's possible. And I'm going to tell you how. Well, Jesus just told us how. Jesus has overcome the world. So what He's saying to us in this idea of peace, He's like, look, I'm giving peace to you. I'm leaving peace to you. You're still going to have tribulation. But guess what? In this tribulation, we're going to have overcome the world. What does it mean to overcome the world? What overcomes the world? It's our faith. How does our faith overcome the world? Because it looks past every single heartache, every bit of trouble, every bit of conflict, and it allows me to see the end result that God has promised me. And when you can see the end result, when you can see the end goal, you can go through anything. You can deal anything with anything. When God gives you that kind of perspective, and we'll talk more about that in just a minute. So why do we struggle to have peace? Why do we struggle to have peace? You know, I don't think the things I talked about were things you guys didn't know. You know, this isn't like your first lesson on peace. Brother Nave said he already preached one on peace here. I said, well, why am I doing it again? We need it. Okay, I get it. But look, you guys aren't dumb. You know what the Bible says about peace. So why don't we go home and still maybe feel like our lives are stressful and we have this kind of unease in some of the ways in our life. Number one, I think, and this is so true, we don't have peace because we don't trust Jesus as the source of our peace. Let me say it this way. All right, you're a Christian, been a Christian for a while. Christians should have peace in their life. But you still don't feel good about your relationship with God. Maybe you feel uneasy. Maybe you feel like, which I've asked Christians before, and they answer like this. Do you feel like you're going to heaven? Well, I sure hope so. We don't know. Does that sound like an answer to somebody that's got peace about it? No. That doesn't sound like you got peace at all. Well, I mean, what if I ask you? You think your wife's going to come home tonight? I hope so. Well, what happened? Nothing. I mean, she says she loves me, but what, you don't believe her? You don't trust her? And here we have Jesus, who's like, hey, I made peace between you and God. And we're like, well, did he really? Did he make peace for me? Brethren, let me tell you, if you're going to lay your head down at night and think if God's going to accept you on your own merits, well, yeah, you're not going to have any peace with that. It left between you and God, you're going to have conflict. But with me and Jesus and God, I have reconciliation. The only way I can lay down my head at night and tell you I know I'm going to heaven is because God told me so and because I believe in Jesus' sacrifice. God's not taking me there because of me. Now, in faith, I've repented of my sins and tried to live a godly life, but let me tell you, I am never going to get there outside of Jesus. And so if you don't know you're saved, either you don't trust in Jesus or you don't think you're in Christ, neither of which would describe a Christian. So look, if peace comes from Jesus, then stop trusting in yourself and trust in the source of peace. I don't ever want to hear a Christian act like they don't know if they're going to heaven. When you ask anybody in the world, they're like, absolutely, I'm there. Like, why do they have more faith than I do? No way. No way. Not us. Because I'm a child of God, a brother to the Prince of Peace. Number one, we don't trust Jesus as the source of our peace. Number two, we don't practice the things that lead to peace. Now, if you got your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 4. You probably knew we were going to go here because there's some great verses that encourage us along these lines. And again, eagle eyes, I got them up here for you. Philippians chapter 4, 7 through 9. He tells us, Paul telling us, look, you want the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension to guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus? Yes, we want that. Well, then help me understand how to get it. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, well, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. All right, you want the God of peace with you? Let me tell you what you do. You don't go home and turn on CNN. You don't do it. Don't go home and turn on Fox. Don't go home and turn on talk radio and you get off of it and you're all like, I can't believe it. I hate these people, hate Democrats, hate Republicans, hate everybody. You know, why is that? Why do we find ourselves in angst all day? Because you know what we think about? We think about the things that divide. We think about the problems and the negativity. We think about the things that inflame us. And yet here Paul's telling us, look, you want the peace of God that'll surpass all understanding? You want it to protect your heart and your mind? Here's what you do. Just go home and dwell on good things. And if you imitate me in this, you think about the things that I think about, you do the things that I do, you're going to have peace. But we go through life like a buzzsaw. And then you think we're ever going to arrive at peace? No. You've got to practice the things that will lead to peace. Jesus isn't just going to give this to you without you acknowledging the things and the steps that lead to peace. Now, it's from Jesus. And He's given us the pattern. But like, how many people follow that? How many people live like God wants them to live and not find peace? No, if you live like Paul and you find contentment in your circumstances and situations, you learn how to be abased and abound. You find yourself pursuing peace with others. You find yourself trying to be a peacemaker like God wants you to be. Pursue peace with all men and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. You find yourself a peacemaker, you're going to see God. But you find yourself an antagonist, bitter, angry, unhappy person, you're never going to find peace because you're not pursuing the things that make for it and you're not trying hard to have it. Look, let me tell you. You don't pursue peace with others, what are you going to find? You're going to find conflict and problems. I'm always surprised to hear about church problems. You know why? Because that is the single last place there ought to be any problems. But why do Christians not have peace with one another? It's not pursued. We don't pursue it. We pursue our thoughts, our opinions, our agendas, our own desires. And when you have a group of people that are dedicated to themselves, you will have conflict. I don't have to have 5 kids to know that, but they reinforce what the Bible already tells me. Why do we have conflict in the back seat? Only one toy, and there's 5 kids. Not going to work. We all want the same thing. But if you're pursuing peace, and you find out someone wants this, and you're like, oh, here, you have it. No, you have it. No, you have it. Peace can be achieved. All right? It's not a mystery. But we gotta practice the things that lead to peace in our own personal lives, and we gotta pursue peace with others. So it's not hard. It really isn't. But it's gonna take just a little bit of effort. So I wanna turn our attention now as we kind of wrap things up to think about the benefits of peace. Why does this really matter? I think as we've talked about why we want peace and need peace, and we talk about de-stressing our lives and that, you know, fake peace and mindfulness, why this really matters to us is hinging right here on the benefits. Let me tell you the benefits of the peace of Christ. Number one is it will put all of the problems of life in perspective. That is the number one benefit of being in Christ, is all of a sudden, everything that I thought mattered, it really doesn't matter. The things I cared about, the things I invested in, the things I worried about, all the things that just drove me, my goals, my visions, my plans, like all that has been erased in Christ. I become a new creature. The old me died and it's been wiped away. And I've been raised to walk in a new life and a new person. And when we start over with our citizenship in heaven, with our mindset there, our hope there, and our treasure there, this place doesn't matter at all. You know how hard it is to get somebody angry about something they don't care about? Not going to happen. I was in Alabama last week. I grew up in Birmingham. Sorry, Randall. I'm an Auburn fan. And a lot of Alabama fans around. Wonder why. National champions every year. Whatever. I get it. My wife went to Alabama, so I married up. But when you think about my kids, I mean, who's my kid going to go for? I mean, I want him to cheer for Auburn, right? And yet his mom's got Alabama stuff, and they're all confused. She grew up in Tennessee, to make it even worse. She went to Tennessee games in Knoxville, so she likes Tennessee. So the other day, we're in Birmingham, and the dad's asking my son, 4 years old, son, who's your favorite football team? And he looks at him, he looks at me, and he says, well, you see, I like Auburn. I'm like, good, good. But I like Alabama. And I really like Tennessee. I'm like, what can I do with you, boy? But you know what? When I get fired up by them football games, they don't care. They don't care. Why do they not care? Because they're not invested in it. Doesn't matter to them. Look, can we uninvest ourselves from this life? Can we literally not care about how people treat us? Because it doesn't matter. Can we really not care about our body if we live or die? Because, well, my body's got to die because flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. Can we not care about our money or our jobs because I'm going to retire anyway, I won't be able to work, and I can't take a dime with me? I mean, can we be free from all the things that get us so emotional and stressed out? We can, because in Christ, we have found what matters. I found my spirituality. I found my soul. I found my Savior and my Creator. And I'm going to be all in and invested in that. And then I don't care what people think about me at school. I don't care if I'm the least popular or the most popular. I don't care if I get a raise or a demotion. None of that matters to me. All that matters to me is Jesus Christ. And when you arrive there, that's how Paul can write in Philippians, "Hey, rejoice in the Lord always. Sorry guys, I'm in prison." How can he find happiness in prison? How can he find joy in prison? How can he find peace in prison? Jesus Christ. You know what? He said, without Christ, we would be of all men most miserable. But in Christ, and we're on top of the world. All right? Yeah, I find peace giving me that perspective so that in Jesus, I don't worry about the things the rest of the world worries about. And when Jesus is all you care about, you're never disappointed. Never disappointed. Secondly, peace benefits all our earthly relationships. Man, when you find peace in Christ, all them problems at home are going to stop. All the problems at work are going to stop. People crawling all each other, trying to get a promotion. People all worrying about each other, talking about each other. Why don't I want to talk about anybody else? I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I'm here to serve my fellow man. I'm here to love my neighbor. I'm here to love God. I'm here to do for others. I'm esteeming others better than myself. And when you take on the mantle of Jesus, who emptied himself and took on the form of a servant, you think you're going to have any problems in your relationships when your goal in life is to serve them, serve your family, serve your community, serve people at work? Of course not. Nobody's going to be mad at you. You're going to be employee of the year. People love people that do for them. And man, if people do that, oh, it's a beautiful thing. It'll help all those problems that we got when my perspective is where it needs to be. And third, and just as important, look, peace provides unity in our churches. Pursue peace. Romans says, as much as is possible, live at peace with all men. Can that not be something you take away from this lesson? I mean, let it be your pursuit. That if there are problems among our brethren, and if there are problems in the church, it will not be because of me. Brethren, God calls us to be peacemakers. That's who Jesus was. His goal in life was to sacrifice himself so that peace may be made between two parties. Let that be said of me. Let me be that person who will stand in the gap of problems and diffuse every evil situation. Because where's division from? Where's disunity from? Where's anger and malice and hatred from? Where's backbiting and gossip and slander from? It's not from above. It's from Satan. God hates people so in discord. He loves people that bring people together. That's what peace does. Peace fixes everything. Peace is so important, but it's not something that we think about too much. And here's the greatest thing about peace, and the last thing I'll leave with you. Peace is like a disease. It spreads to others. When you have peace in your life, it's so hard for people to have problems around you. And when you interject peace into your home, and you let peace govern those relationships, guess how your children are going to grow up? Peaceful. They expect it. They're going to want it. They're going to see it. But you've been there. When you're angry and you're yelling and whatever, where are your kids going to be? Be angry and yelling and whatever. You got to yell to be heard. And I've been in homes like that. Everybody's yelling. Got to yell. No. Let's find peace. And when people see you in peace, they want that peace. And then peace breeds more peace. Just like anger and violence breeds more anger and violence. Do you see that in our culture? You see the hatred building? You see people concerned? There's going to be a problem. There's going to be a problem because there's too much anger. Brethren, we got to take care of that. And the way we do that is through peace. Breaking down those walls and barriers. Appreciating what matters. Having a clear focus and embracing it. Peace will help you in every aspect of your life. And I encourage you to find that. And it's something that tonight, every one of you can take. You can go grab that peace because it's not something that you do in a moment of yoga at home. You're not going to go home and in 15 minutes find serenity in your life. The only peace that you're going to really have is if you know everything in your life is in perfect harmony with God. Because here's what He's going to do for you. He's going to come back and blow this place up. He's going to tear down and He's going to rebuild. And you're either going to be part of what's torn down, and you're going to enter into the second death, or you're going to be part of that new creation, the new heavens and the earth, where righteousness dwells. You're going to be given a new body, a new place to be, a new home. And I want to be there. I want that. And when you have that in your life, when you know through Christ you are accepted by God, then you have that peace. He offers it tonight. And you can go home with that assurance in a God that cannot lie. He promised from ages ago eternal life for you. If there's something we can do to help you tonight through discussion, dialogue, your repentance, your baptism, your confession, we're here to help. Make peace with God tonight. Be reconciled to Him as we stand and sing a song to encourage you.